we're going to turn now to our reading, the book of Romans. So thank you for your prayers and for guidance with regard to the next sermon series. I've settled on Romans, and so it's maybe something of a long project, but I'm going to try and move through quickly, but we'll see. We'll see how we do. Today we're only looking at one verse, doesn't look good, does it? But I will speed up. This is something of an introduction. So let's pray now and ask for God's blessing upon us as we consider His word together. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us. We thank you that you have chosen certain people, certain men to write down the scriptures. You've inspired them by your Holy Spirit, so they wrote down exactly what you wanted them to write. And we thank you that today, we can open the scriptures and read your words. Wow, that's amazing. The words of the living God. And we pray, Lord, that we would come with humility before your word today, that we would come with open ears. And Lord, we would hear you, we would hear your word powerfully in our hearts. We would hear you speak to us, not simply to our outward ear, not simply to just to our minds, but we would understand the power of your word transforming us, reshaping our minds, the way we think, giving us new desires, strengthening those existing desires that are toward you. So please, Lord, may your blessing be upon us this day, and may you be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read. We're going to read 1 to 7, the first little section, which is basically his reading. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, all the saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's a I didn't take a breath after that. There's so much in it. I'm wondering how we're going to speed through this. But anyway, with your prayers. So today we're just beginning looking at this book. We're going to look at the first verse. The first verse tells us about the author. Who wrote the book of Romans? Well, the first verse tells us something about the author. The name, identity and calling. And that's all we're going to consider. And as we do, I'm going to show how these things apply to us as well. Paul, in many ways, was unique, but in many ways he was just like us. And so things that he says about himself are also things that that are true for us. So let's move our way through and have a look. So first, his name, Paul. Well, that doesn't tell us much about him, does it? But everyone knew, when he wrote Paul, everyone knew who that was. Now, if I wrote a letter and just said James, you may be scratching your head now, which James is it? But everyone knew. Who is this Paul? Well, he's famous, he's famous in the New Testament. He wrote so many of the letters that we have, and we've got a record of his history in the book of Acts. And so as we read through those books, we can piece together something of a background of Paul. And there's just three things I want to say briefly about his background. The first is he was Jewish. Paul was his Roman name, but his Jewish name was Saul. So sometimes we see he's called Saul, as in the readings from Acts chapter 9 today. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? So he was a Jew. He was born not in Israel. He was born in a place called Tarsus, which is biblical Cilicia, or today in southern Turkey. But he was brought up in Jerusalem. That's the first thing, he was Jewish. The second thing, he was something of a religious leader. So Paul was brought up in Jerusalem, but he was also trained by a leading rabbi in Jerusalem called Gamaliel. One historian says that he's perhaps the most significant Jewish teacher of the first century. He was a well-known, famous teacher. And Paul was brought up at his feet, he said. Paul also was a Pharisee. Now, that has negative connotations for us as we read the Gospels, but the Pharisees were known as ones who are dedicated to God. The word Pharisee possibly comes from a Hebrew word meaning to separate. They were the separated ones, separated for God, committed to observing God's law, committed to the law of Moses. And so that's what Paul was. He was a Pharisee, and he wasn't just any old Pharisee, though. He was a super Pharisee. He said that he was advancing in Judaism above many of his contemporaries. Just a couple of verses quickly. So Galatians 1:14, where Paul speaks about his commitment to Judaism. He says, "And I was advancing Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." And many will be familiar too with what Paul says himself in Philippians 3 and verse 5. He refers to himself in this way: circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. So he's committed to this sect of the Pharisees, this group who are committed to observing the Mosaic law. So that's the second thing, was something of a religious leader. But then, thirdly, he opposed Christianity. He opposed Christianity. In his earlier life, he saw Jesus as an imposter. He did not accept him as Messiah. He saw Jesus as a threat to Judaism in its purity. A threat to Judaism too, probably nationally. And so he tried to stamp Christianity out. He had Christians arrested. He approved of some being killed. Listen to what he says in Acts 26. This is when he was before King Agrippa. He said, "So then I thought to myself," verse 9 of Acts 26. "So I thought to myself that I had done many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my votes against them. And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities." So there's Paul. You get something of a picture.
Mm.
But then something changed in him. While he was travelling on the road to Damascus, as most people know the story, he was travelling there with letters from the chief priest to arrest Christians. But while he was nearing Damascus, Jesus met him. And from that day forward, he was a new man. Immediately, well, we'll put a couple of days, 3 days. But basically, immediately when he came to realize who Jesus was, then he began to proclaim that he was the Christ. And he proved it from the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul never stopped. That was just the beginning. And from the first day on, he proclaimed Christ ceaselessly, proving to Jews initially and then also to Gentiles that this indeed was the Saviour. Now, Paul's story in so many ways is unique. But his story is, well, his experience is similar to every true Christian. Our story may not be as dramatic. We may not have been on the road to persecute Christians when a light came from heaven and struck us down to the ground and caused a temporary blindness. But if you're a true believer today, you have met the Lord Jesus. And you've heard him. You've heard his voice. They're from Scripture, but you've heard it powerfully in your heart. You've heard him call to you. You've heard him saying to leave everything and follow him. And you've responded to his voice. If you're a true Christian, then your eyes also have been opened to who Jesus is. You've come to firmly believe that he is the only Saviour of the world. Now, in saying that, you might not be able to remember quite when that happened. Maybe it happened when you were quite a young child. And so your memory is a little bit hazy. It could have happened at any period of your life. The period of it happening isn't so important, but the fact is important. You met Jesus. And meeting him changed your life for good. Hasn't that happened? But we need to ask the question of ourselves today, don't we? We need to not assume that that is the experience of us all. So let me ask you, have you been changed? Have you truly met the Lord Jesus, and has he changed your life? That's something we must stop and ask ourselves. Again, we may not be able to remember the particular time, the particular day, when it first happened. But surely it's happened subsequent to it. We've come near to Jesus, and he's spoken to us, and we've known his voice. And it's had a powerful effect upon our life. I hope that that is true of each one of us here today. I hope that it's true that none of us here come short of that experience, have come short of meeting Jesus, because many people do. Many people come and meet a Christian. Or they come and meet the church. Or they come and meet the Bible. But fall short of meeting Jesus. I hope that none of us fall short of meeting the Lord Jesus himself. Because we're warned. Jesus himself warns that there will be a day in the future when we all come and stand before him, and there will be people in that crowd who call Jesus Lord, assuming that they've met him, but he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So they never really met Jesus. He didn't know them. They weren't his. So we can't assume. I would encourage you to reflect on this. Be sure that you've truly met the Lord Jesus. And the evidence will be in a changed life. What's that noise? Himself here, our version says a bondservant of Christ Jesus. A bondservant. A lot of the modern translations avoid using the word slave because it has all kinds of connotations. But that's really the word here, it's the word slave. A slave of Christ Jesus. This is how Paul describes himself. Who is this who's writing the letter? Who are you? You said your name, Paul, but tell us something else about yourself. Well, how does Paul identify himself? Who is this Paul? A slave of Christ Jesus. Now, why does Paul describe himself in this way? Need I say that this word has many negative connotations? It's not something that people would want to admit about themselves necessarily. Perhaps in many cases, slavery was something to be dreaded, something to be avoided, if at all possible. Slavery as an institution, in certain cases at least, dehumanized people. Not in every case, but in some cases. Because if you're a slave, you were owned. You were somebody's property. You had very little independence, no real freedom. And yet this is the way that Paul describes himself. But for Paul, slavery to Christ was not only compatible with freedom, even it was essential to freedom. Paul was a slave of Christ. And as he said that, he said that, considered that to be a title of honor. Paul had been bought, but not with money. Jesus bought Paul with his own blood. And this freed Paul from those things that truly enslaved him. He was enslaved because as a sinner he was condemned before God. He was freed also from sin's power over him. We read later on in Romans chapter 7 that though he wanted to strive against sin in his life, he was defeated by it. And when he came face to face with the commandment, you shall not covet, he just saw coveting all the way through him. It, as a plague, as a cancer that he couldn't rid himself of. He was doomed. But Jesus came to free him from that. He'd been bought by Jesus' blood. He was also owned by Jesus to serve Jesus wholly. Truly, that's what it means when he refers to himself as a slave. Owned, yes, but owned to serve Jesus with everything. But again, this is essential to freedom because who was Paul serving before? Well, he was ultimately serving Satan with God. Or, now we could say that he was serving himself, serving his own uncontrollable wants and desires, being a slave to that drive, you know, that drive to be the best Pharisee and to outdo everyone. Paul had been freed from those things, that kind of service, to serve Jesus. and serve Jesus, to be the slave of Christ, was the highest privilege. Because it all depends on who the master is. And who is this master who Paul came to see and to know and to serve? Well, he was the master who died to save him. And so from now on, this point when he met Jesus, it was his greatest joy to live for Christ. He was not driven by fear. Like many slaves, I can imagine, were driven by fear, the fear of falling out of favor with their master. But Paul was convinced of the love of Christ for him. And it drove him to willingly offer himself as a slave. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to how Paul speaks there. Verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this is Paul's thinking. He's letting us into the way he thinks and says things. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their lips. That's what drove Paul. To live for this Jesus who laid down his life for him. It was a passion to serve Jesus. It was a privilege to be his slave. I would say this, that as a person, you've never really enjoyed freedom until you become a slave of Christ. Because it does all depend on the master you have. And Jesus is the most perfect master. Who loves and protects and provides the bones that are under his authority, even to the point of death, even death on the cross. This was slavery to Paul. This is the kind of slavery that he embraced. I just want to turn to one other passage in Exodus chapter 21. We've looked at this recently as we worked our way through the book of Exodus, but I think it captures so much. It's really a picture of slavery to Christ. Exodus 21, 5 to 6. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master. This is a slave, I should say, who is just on the verge of being set free from slavery. You know, you can go free now. But listen, the slave says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out as a free man. Then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. And he shall serve him permanently. Surely that was Paul's attitude. I don't want to be free from this master. It's not about having to serve him. It's about getting to serve him. I don't want to be free from him, my king. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, it's plain throughout even the book of Romans. Paul uses the term slavery to apply to every Christian. Every Christian is someone who is a slave of Christ. Because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, Paul said. And we've been bought with a price now to serve him wholly. We need to remind ourselves not only who we are, that's vitally important, who we are, but even more important than that, it's whose we are. We belong to Jesus. I am a slave of Jesus. I no longer serve Satan. I no longer serve myself. I don't serve the world. I don't serve the government. Ultimately, I don't serve my boss. Ultimately, I serve the Lord Jesus. I'm a slave of Christ. Let me ask you again and challenge you. Are you living as a slave of Christ? Is that how you're living your life today? Who is in charge of your life? The decisions you make. The choices. Who's in charge of us? When you get up in the morning and you think through the day, and maybe you go to work, you have a God, it's right there. But even there, as you think, I'm here at work, you think, who am I actually serving here? And is that influencing the way you do your job? I'm here as a slave of Christ. Or maybe I don't have a full-time job and I've got lots of choices. How are you going about deciding what you're going to do and what you're not going to do? Is it crossing your mind? Are you thinking it through? I'm a slave of Christ. Are you getting up in the morning and saying, in view of God's mercies, I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I've been bought with a price. My life is His. Jesus, you're my master. I'm here to serve you this day. Guide me in what I should do. Are we going to it and committing the day in prayer? That's why it's so important, isn't it, to pray and to read the scriptures before we start the day out. We're remembering whose service we're in. What would you have me do? How would you have me serve you today? And we bring it in prayer. Lord, guide me. I want to serve you this day. I want this day to count for eternity. I know it's only going to count for eternity if it's lived for you. And my friends, I remind you that this is how to enjoy freedom as a Christian. This is how to enjoy freedom. This is not contrary to Christian freedom. This is freedom. And you will feel the freedom in your heart. Do you feel free? Do you feel free? Do you feel in bondage? Do you feel every day a chore, every day a bother, a trouble, a burden, like a slave, chained to places you don't want to be, chained to people you don't want to be around? My friends, remember whose you are. I think very often we don't feel free because we've forgotten that we're slaves of Christ. We haven't submitted our lives to Him again and said, Lord, my life is your life. I lay it at your feet. Use it however you want. That's the attitude. He calls it as slaves of Christ. And it is so marvelously free. So marvelously free. All right. Lastly then, calling, the calling of Paul. Well, he says he's a called apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul was an apostle, and this describes his occupation, or his calling. You might ask the question, Paul, what job do you have? You know what? He didn't say a tent maker, he said an apostle. That was his occupation. That's what Jesus had called him to. An apostle, the word means one who is sent. One who is sent, like an ambassador. Someone in authority sends someone on their behalf with a message or something like that to bring. And they bring that message in, you know, in the other person's name and with their authority. Now that's what Paul was. He was a sent person. He was sent by Jesus. Jesus said, go, and he went. And he came in Jesus' name and with Jesus' authority. That's something unique about Paul and the other apostles. But there's something different about Paul. He again is different from the other apostles in that they were called by Jesus before his death and resurrection. Now we can argue about Matthias and his, but just generally speaking. All the others were called before Jesus' death and resurrection, but Paul was called after on the road to Damascus. It was at this time Jesus called him and sent him. And so that's really important for us to remember as we read this book of Romans. We're not ultimately reading Paul's message, because he's saying, you know, this is not me just writing a message that I want to write. I'm an apostle. I'm one sent. I'm coming on behalf of the Lord Jesus, and you must receive this message that I write to you, not as from me, a mere man, but receive this as a message from the King of Kings. And it's in his name I write. But what was his message? What was his message? He was sent. He was sent with a message. What was the message? Well, he tells us here. He's going to go on in the verses following to explain it more fully. But from this first verse, he says, set apart for the gospel of God. Set apart for this good news, this good message from God. God has a great message for the world, and he's given it to Paul to go. Proclaim that message. Tell everyone about this message. And this really is the book of Romans. What's the book of Romans? It's the gospel. It's good news from God. So Paul's life was one that had been set apart for this message. He was commissioned by the King of Kings to announce this most amazing message of salvation. To tell what Jesus had done for sinners, that we might be forgiven and adopted into God's family. And Paul considered that to be the most wonderful privilege. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3 and verse 8, here Paul expresses his deep, humble gratitude of being called as an apostle with a message. He says this, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. The unfathomable riches of Christ. When Paul thought about Christ, he saw just this storehouse full to the brim, and then more. Such a large storehouse, he couldn't see the end of it. Unfathomable riches, treasures, immeasurable, never plumbed the depth. And Paul thought, wow, I've got the best job ever throughout all of history and throughout all the world to go and tell the world these unbounded riches of Christ. So Paul did everything he could to advance this message. And he sought to avoid everything that would hinder this message. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. He says, although I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all men save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Can you see Paul's attitude here? Everything for the gospel. Whatever sacrifice, he didn't consider it to be too great for the gospel, in order that he might win the lost. that he might by all means save some. He did all things for the sake of the gospel. He'd been set apart for the gospel. He understood what that meant. He lived for its proclamation. He avoided things that hindered. Here's Paul. But what about us? What is your occupation? What is your occupation? In a sense, every believer has been set apart for the gospel. It's different from Paul. Yeah, I get that. Not many. How many here are apostles? You know? Not many. But in a sense, we've all been set apart for the gospel. We're all called to embrace the gospel, to delight in the gospel, to live the gospel, to share the gospel. It really is what our lives are about. And in that sense, it is our occupation. It is your calling. Why am I here? What's my job? Why has Jesus left me in this earth? Why hasn't he ended my life and just taken me up to heaven? What does my master want me to do in my brief time in life? What is it? Well, of course, there's many things. We have our daily jobs, we have families, we provide for and care for. But ultimately, the big picture, why am I here? What is my purpose? I'm a person who has believed the gospel. And believing the gospel, that is, believing the message of Jesus, leading Jesus, has changed me. It has brought me willingly under the rule of Christ. And in everything, throughout my whole life, wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I seek to be a witness to him. I seek to be like an arrow that points to Christ. That's what my life is about. Wherever I am, whatever I'm called to do. My friends, your life has been set apart for the gospel. In everything, to advance it. And to avoid anything that might hinder it. And so as we think about what we're doing with our lives, as we think about the choices that are before us, we must ask this question of ourselves. Will this thing that I'm planning on doing, or the way that I'm living my life, or the way that I'm coming across to people, will this hinder or advance the gospel? At work, as people watch me and observe me at work, is the way that I'm working, is it advancing the gospel or hindering the gospel? Because I'm about the gospel. What about how I treat people that are around me? How do people see me? What do people think of me? Oh, I don't know. People may unjustly think lots of things about us. But in how I'm conducting myself and how I'm treating people, whether it's the person at the checkout in the supermarket, or whether it's my neighbour or people of my own household, how I'm treating them, is it helping them? Or hindering them? Is it advancing the gospel or hindering the gospel? You might say, I'm never going to see that person at checkout again, but who knows? They might come up, they might turn up to church investigating Christianity and they see you and they remember how you spoke to them, how you treated them. Boy, oh boy. We live before God as those set apart for the gospel. Are you fulfilling your occupation, your calling? Let's ask ourselves this question. How should I live differently? How should I live differently? You know, tomorrow, what should I do differently as a person who's been set apart for the gospel? So, brethren, these things we've considered. We've considered Paul, this transformed man. We've considered him being a slave of Christ and being called by God as an apostle. Let us think on these things, with these questions particularly in mind. Am I a changed person? Am I living as a slave of Christ? Am I living as one set apart for the gospel? Let us pray over these things, brethren. Let us talk among ourselves about it so we can encourage each other to be faithful to our call. Amen. Let's pray.